You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with the Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Mike Zlotnick. Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing very good. So Mike is, he's actually another member of the Collective Genius. He is the CEO of Tempo Funding, which is a hard money lending business out of Brooklyn, New York. And Mike and I have actually had the pleasure of doing a good bit of business together over the last couple of years, actually lending into his business that he then in turn lends out to investors all over the country. He's got, to me, one of the top-notch premier hard money lending businesses in the country, not just because they've got a good business, good rates, whatnot, but he also has a really creative side of the business that we'll get into in a little bit. But Mike, maybe talk to us for a minute. I don't even know the story. How did you even get into real estate?
It was kind of coincidental. I spent 14 years in IT industry. And I liked working in IT, but I became part-time real estate investor in 2000 and started buying some apartments. And over time, I found it much more interesting to be an investor in real estate than an IT executive. So 2009, we had a downturn, and instead of getting a raise, I was told that the company is downsizing. It was a funny experience.
Oh,
so I went to the boss and I expected a raise. Instead, he said, "I'm sorry, bud, but here's a couple of months severance. I apologize. Have a nice day."
Oh, man.
So what happened was that was a good kick in the butt. And my business partner in Tempo Funding called me and said, "Hey, won't you go run the fund?" And I looked at it and got involved and started running Tempo Funding from June of 2009. So I'm not a co-founder, but I'm kind of the initial executive that has been running it ever since. We've spun a few mortgage pool funds since then, different entities, but we operate all of us under TempoFunding.com. That's the web presence.
Interesting. So you were working with Tempo while you still had your full-time job, though, as well?
No. In June 2009, I came on board as full-time. Managing director of Tempo Funding.
Were you doing business with them prior to that on the side?
It was founded very late 2008.
Okay.
And it just did a few deals early 2009.
Gotcha.
But my partner in Tempo Funding, he is still a partner in Tempo Funding LLC. But he was never active. He's a corporate executive as well. So he couldn't, he had a day job. I didn't. He said, "Go ahead. You want to run it?" I said, "Yeah, let's do it."
Interesting. And so at the time, when you first started out with the company in 2009, what were you doing? Just local hard money deals, or how'd you guys find business?
We started by doing transactional funding. We still do it. Transactional funding is an arbitrage, back-to-back funding. Actually, Collective Genius founder, Jason Medley, used to run iVisionary, and he did transactional funding, and he was number one, we were number two. And at some point, he decided to discontinue because transactional funding business has slowed down significantly. But we continued, and then we merged from there into private money lending, hard money, because the transactional funding business have slowed down quite a bit.
Okay, so for those listeners that don't understand kind of the purpose of transactional funding, maybe give us just the quick 30,000-foot view of what that is.
Fairly simple. So the word is used arbitrage. It's a technical word, but in layman terms, you lock up a property with a contract for $200,000. Just find the deal, you mark it, and the contract gives you the right to remarket the property. So you lock it for $200,000, you market it, and you find a buyer who's willing to pay you $250,000. And you need to buy, close transaction known as A to B transaction. And then you can sell the property in a B2C transaction for $250. So you buy for $200 and you sell for $250. And you need a loan for $200,000 if you don't have cash. So this is where we come in. we will give you a transactional loan for 200,000, knowing that you have an exit for 250. Typically, it takes between 1 to 3 days to close both transactions. Most cases, it's a one day transaction. So we give you a short-term loan. We fund the deal for 200,000. You buy the property, immediately sell, you make $50,000 profit. You pay us a small fee, and you're done.
What were the rates like? I'm just curious back then for transactional. I mean, they were pretty healthy.
The rates are still the same. I mean, we charge 2 points and a small admin fee.
Okay.
If you go borrow money, you get a hard money loan, you're typically going to pay minimum 2, 3, 4 points and interest rate. But interest rate is irrelevant because it's going to be a couple of days.
That's right.
Yeah. So 2 points is, it's just the points that you're paying. That's it.
Right. So like on that $200,000 purchase, you know, it might be $4,000 to borrow that money for a couple days.
Exactly. And you're making $50,000 profit, so you can afford to pay $4,000.
Exactly.
That's the spill.
It's a no-brainer, right? Yeah, that makes sense. And so you guys still do some transactional funding today?
Absolutely. There's a revival now. It's funny how it just comes around. Originally, we were doing a lot of short sales. People needed funding to close a short sale and then resell the property to a retail buyer. And today, it's coming around. Even wholesalers often need transactional funding if they can't get the whole spread as an assignment fee. So today, some wholesalers, you lock it up for 200, you try to sell it for 250. $50,000 spread is a big spread.
Yeah.
It may be difficult to collect as an assignment fee, but as a transactional funding, you can independently close A to B, and you don't have to show your B2C seller what you bought it for. This is the purpose of A to B funding. They're separate transactions. And if you have legal disclosures in your contracts, you don't have to disclose that you bought it for 200 to the seller who's paying you 250.
Yeah. It's funny. I found that most wholesalers, they're fine with doing assignment fees until they all of a sudden they're making more than like 15 grand or 10 grand. They don't want you to necessarily know how much they're making. And that's usually when you end up doing the double close, in which case you might need the transactional funding. Yeah. If somebody's making a 50K rip on a deal, they probably don't want you to know they're making that. And so they'll use
exactly.
The transactional funding.
That's why Renaissance is coming back. And we're doing more of them now than last year.
Interesting. And I guess originally you were doing a lot with short sales, but then the short sales, they started changing the way that those were done, and you had to hold the house for so long and all sorts of disclosures. You know, once there were some parameters around that, I guess that sort of dried up some of that transactional funding for you.
Exactly what happened. You have precise description of the history. So what happened was that as banks start imposing anti-flip restrictions, you get to hold the property for a certain amount of time, these deals could not get funded back to back. So we went into what we called extended funding, or today it's called just private money or hard money loans. We make a loan for 30 days, for 90 days, for you to hold it long enough so you meet the requirements of a short sale approval letter. That's how we got into that business, and then it morphed into rehab projects and other deals where you need money for longer than a couple of days. So it's all kind of naturally progressed from transactional to extended, and you basically do bridge funding for however long you need. But these are underwritten differently. Transactional funding is back-to-back. We underwrite it based on the strength of the second transaction. For a extended deal, we have to look at the house, the value, what is it worth today? If it's a rehab, what is it going to be worth when you fix it up? Mm-hmm. That's kind of...
So when that started changing for you guys and you saw these short sale restrictions being imposed, I guess you were still lending to a lot of the same guys. Now they just had to hold the house, long, maybe 30, 60, 90 days, like you said, and so that became hard money. And then I guess that opened the gates for you just to be sort of a traditional hard money lender at the time?
That's true. But the biggest differentiator for us from other traditional hard money lenders, it was then and it's still now, is that we are a relationship lender. So if you're going to ask me, where do I work, is my answer to you would be wherever our clients are. So first we develop relationships with clients, with folks who we want to work with, old clients from transactional base plus new relationships, referrals in today's environment. And then, we decide based on that, if we want to work with you, and if we do, we'll do whatever's necessary. We will tailor our products to almost your needs. It's like we operate, we don't have a black box, and we're trying to sell the black box to whomever wants to buy it. Hmm. Instead, we'd rather design a box for every relationship that we have.
Interesting. And so what states have you guys typically lent in? Are you all over the United States?
We're not all over. We used to do a lot more deals in California. Now it's a lot less. And we do more deals now in Florida. So I'm on a business trip now in Florida. I'm in Miami and Jacksonville this week. And we're doing a lot more here. But we do New Jersey. We do Texas. We'll do some Midwest states. It's where our clients are. So we do private loans with the folks that we work with. If they happen to have a deal, we have a Miami borrower who happen to do deals in Philadelphia. So we'll go to Philadelphia. This is how we work. We have just to check local laws and regulations and what whether we can do business in that area of that state. But if we can, it's a private loan, and we'll, you know, wherever possible, we'll do it. And if we can do loans, we can do equity. We've done a lot of creative finance deals. So if specific deal needs equity money, we'll come up with that as well.
So give us maybe an example of what that looks like. If instead of you're providing the debt, you're providing the equity, how do you structure some of those deals?
So we have I'll give you a couple of live equity relationships we have with a few folks and just get an idea of what they look like. So we start bidding in New Jersey at auctions, and we've been relatively successful. And every state auction bidding, these are sheriff auctions, the rules are different. California, very different. We've been there. We've done bidding in Florida. We've done bidding in Delaware. Now we're doing in New Jersey. And the counties are bidding and have fairly good rules where if you win, you only put up 20% deposit and you have 30 days to close, which is great. So we structured a JV LLC. Long story short, it's an entity where we co-own it with the investor who is running the deals, and we bid together from that entity, and we win, and then we structure them as a joint venture. And funding is structured kind of on a preferred equity basis. Just to give an example, the deal we have in New Jersey is basically we fund 80% of the equity capital needed, and the borrower funds 20%. And then we pay 12% preferred return on all the equity invested, both from us and from the partner that is doing the deals. And then we have profit share split. So as long as he's running the business the way he's supposed to run the business, he keeps 2/3 of the profit, we keep 1/3. So it's 12% plus 2/3 to the principal of the business and 1/3 to the money partner.
Interesting.
And so that's an example of equity participation. And we leverage it with the cheapest debt we can find. Sometimes it's banks, sometimes it's private money. Some of these deals we fund ourselves, and some we get third-party capital, and we are just wearing equity hat.
Right, right. And typically you're getting your own equity, you're getting for less than 12% in a lot of cases.
Well, our equity, again, all the equity that goes in, whether our senior preferred or the investment, which is junior preferred equity, gets 12% preferred return.
Right.
And then we do profit share for all the expenses. So it's a blended deal. It's basically 12% return on the money, but then there's a profit share. And then some of the businesses, we involve more and some less. There's variance. And we structure these deals depending on how much effort is involved and how much it's just purely money.
Yeah. And most of these deals that you're doing this way, are they just strictly just single family detached houses? What kind of deals are you doing?
Depends, right? So we've done small commercial and residential property, 1-4 family. Like in New Jersey, we're buying at auction. The preference is to buy 2-3 family because they are just phenomenal. On a flip side, a lot of investor buyers want to pick them up.
Okay.
So you need to know the market. In some areas, if you are operating in an area where the house is primarily bought by investor buyers, you're looking for a duplex or triplex, they get much better cash flow and they sell at a premium. Mm-hmm. And the financial debt service coverage ratio, if you ever heard of the term, is easily met for the banks. And just this cash flow is better. There's enough money to service the debt. Mm-hmm. Some deals that are retail flips to owner-occupied, mostly a single family. So we can pick up a deal at an auction. Again, I'm just speaking about those specific deals in New Jersey, but the same is true in everywhere else. If it's a retail flip with a buyer, I'm called retail buyer, somebody's going to live in the house, you don't want to have a duplex. I mean, sometimes people are looking for mother-daughter house, but most of them is a single-family, plain vanilla house. Hmm. Investment area, duplexes are and triplexes are in better demand because the cash flow much better. Like, that's as simple as that. Hmm.
How many investors are you working with, or you have this sort of equity arrangement?
Not that many. So we pick our battles carefully. So I have a few guys. I have a guy in New Jersey. I have a guy in Florida. I have actually two relationships in Florida. I have another one in Delaware. Off top of my head, that's it. I think it's, I have one in California, but it's not, it's a deal specific. So it's a very small group of folks we're comfortable to work with. It's not a product. So in order for us to do equity, we have to build a relationship, know who we're working with, and then we can do equity.
And I guess talk for a minute about the advantage for the investor. Because why wouldn't they just get debt, you know, with normal hard money rates rather than giving up, you know, a third in terms of profit share?
There's a few pros and cons to this. So let me start very simple. If the borrower has, or the investor has a lot of capital, equity capital, they don't need equity capital from us. We're happy to look at the deal and help them maybe structure a deal somehow if they need advice. We're happy to provide deal, so this is called financial engineering advice. Mm-hmm. But they may not need the capital. So from that perspective, they go and they try to find the cheapest debt. Could be us, could be somebody else. Right? So if the equity capital is plentiful for the down payment, for the rehab budget, for the carry cost, right? Mm-hmm. All these things have to be built into the project. Mm-hmm. If it's sufficient, don't need equity. But what if the investor is short? He has 10% of the project and doesn't have anything else. At that point, he can't do the deal. He goes to a classic hard money lender. They're going to tell him, well, we need 25% down payment and 25% of the rehab funds. You got to have that money plus the carry cost, closing cost. Mm-hmm. They go look at it. I just can't do the project. I don't have the money. At that point, equity comes in. So equity essentially bridges the gap between the down payment, additional funds they need, and carry costs, closing costs, partial rehab costs. That's where it comes into play. Very helpful when you have good deals, you don't have enough money.
Right.
The other way we do them sometimes, instead of being an equity, we will put a second lien. If it's the same concept, we could have a shared appreciation mortgage.
Right.
We have a second lien. Just different mechanics and different situations. It's just exercised differently. But conceptually, it's very, very similar.
I gotcha. Are there cases where you provide the first lien financing and the second lien financing just at a higher rate?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I gotcha.
The answer is yes, we've done both. The first is cheapest. Sometimes we'll have an investor who'll take the first and we'll take the second. And we fund these deals from various sources. Sometimes individual investors, and sometimes it's one of the funds that I co-manage. So a lot of, let's just call them hard money lenders out there, do something very similar. They have a first and a second, and some guys will not do a second unless they control the first.
Right.
We are not close to that only. I mean, we're open to any arrangement as long as it's a solid arrangement.
And again, for the end borrower, the advantage is just having less capital in the deal. Whether they've got it or don't have it, they're just paying a little extra money, some extra fees and higher interest rate, but to save on their existing cash flow, which, and as a business owner, I get that. I trade higher interest rate for less cash flow all the time in my business, so it makes sense.
It's both. So I would say that, yes, it is capital necessary to do the deal. If you don't have the capital, you're out of options. But on top of that, I personally have a lot of experience with, let's just call it, deal structuring and deal engineering. Mm-hmm. And some folks come to us for their advice, not just the money. In some very high-end deals that we help people engineer, we don't even put the capital. We just help them with the experience and feedback and some connections to be able to get these deals properly structured to fund them.
That's interesting. So do you guys, I know that you've got some really advanced deal structuring experience. Is that something you charge for, almost like as a consultant? How does that work in your business?
Exactly.
Okay.
So what we would do is we would look at the deal and try to figure out the capital stack just using sophisticated, convention, how much debt can they put in the deal, how much equity, and we'll basically help them with a consultative service to figure out what's the max debt capital they can raise, how much equity they need to raise, what could be the terms on the equity, and help them a little bit with capital raising. So depending on their own connections, we can take piece of the deal as well. So that's exactly the approach. It is essentially a consultative service. There's no fixed fee. We'll look at the deal, and I work mostly on referral. So if I like the deal and comes on a good referral, I'll figure out what it's going to cost. And to me, it's all win-win. If the deal can't happen, I generally don't charge any money. On really high-end deals with a lot of time involved, most people will ask for some capital up front. I believe in a win-win. From my perspective, 99% of the times, I'm not going to charge a dollar unless I believe this is going to succeed. Hmm.
Is there ever a situation where you just charge like a flat fee for helping to put the deal together, but then you don't necessarily participate in the deal?
Yeah. I mean, that's a consultative service.
Okay.
It's basically, here's what I think it's going to look like. This is what you're going to need. And let me pull my connections and help you do the deal. So for sure.
Gotcha. So maybe talk for a minute about some of the types of creative deals that you put together, just to give, just jog people's minds. And here's the different types of scenarios that you've put together in the past and ways that you can help folks.
We've done some flips that were falling apart. So we've engineered how they can be put together through some using of the trust, LLCs, just selling interest in various entities to be able to do some advanced flips. We've done second lien financing, bridge funding to help them to get their refi. It's basically bridge funding to finish the rehab project and then the property is stabilized. And then again, it's us funding, but also it's the structuring of the deal, what they need to do to be able to meet bank requirements. Because of our own equity deals that we do, we have some banking relationships and at least some understanding on what banks require on their seasoning side. And so it's how do you get to refi point? We've done some of those deals. Done deals on the how do you flip the property? We've helped people actually market properties, come up with the most creative ways to aggressively put them on the market and be able to get offers, even though it's not our expertise, but through the track record, we've done that. Trying to think what else.
What about with self-directed accounts? Do you do some assistance
with that?
Right,
we do a lot of, thank you for the reminder, you're absolutely right. So we do a lot of SIDRA, self-directed IRA investing. I've done ton of deals where the investors are self-directed IRA investors. We help them place the money, get maximum return, so it grows their self-directed IRA, and they can pay us a consultative fee from the operating businesses. In other words, we give them some feedback, and then we help get the deal funded, and they don't pay us a buck on the deal, but they pay us a fee after the deal is successful. So we've done a ton of that. And what that does, it accelerates the growth of self-directed IRA and gets them a tax deduction on the operating business for hiring us as a consultant.
Just to even put some more structure on that, there's some really creative techniques to pump your IRA wide open just by structuring the deal properly, you know, profit splits and things like that. And like you said, even paying fees through your business rather than through the IRA, where the IRA actually receives the majority of the profits from a given deal. And you guys are experts, from what I've experienced, at, you know, again, pumping your IRA as quickly as you can with as much as you can.
And I greatly appreciate the kind of words. Yes, we do have a lot of experience. I don't claim to be a CPA, nor an attorney. I don't play one on TV, but we do have a lot of experience. So
yeah,
I can tell you that we will provide private consulting advice based on our experience without stepping into any CPA or legal area.
Yeah.
So we've done quite a number of deals. There's so many ways to structure it. And at the end of the day, you can, I'm just going to use a couple of really basic techniques here to mention to people. This is actually one of the top advices, secret sauce. Most people don't know about this, but this is one of the most advanced techniques, how to own real estate forever without paying any taxes. People are going to think it's crazy, but it's absolutely true if it's done properly. So the idea is very simple. You know, this is called a million or a billion dollar idea, depending on who you are. So with a self-directed IRA account, your IRA or Roth IRA can take an option on the property. You have to make sure you're following the rules of prohibited transactions. So as long as you don't take an option on a property that you own or your parents own or your children own, if it's not a prohibited party, then you could do the transaction. But your Roth IRA or the Roth IRA of whoever is involved in a deal can buy an option on a property, and then later that option can control most of the upside. And the way to own most of the real estate is this. Let's just say you have a brother, and brothers, sisters are not prohibited parties from doing business with your Roth IRA. They're not linear ascendants and descendants. So what that means is your brother can buy a property, get financing on the property, put it in his or her LLC, or could be a friend, and your Roth IRA could buy an option on the property at the price slightly above the market and have an option for 20 years. Nowhere in IRS code it says that the Roth IRA cannot get a good deal on the option. So what happens in 20 years? This property goes up in price massively, and all the upside is captured by the Roth IRA. Most people don't understand the power of this technique. This is a million-dollar idea.
That it's interesting how an IRA can own an option. Most people have no idea the power of options. But again, to recap, owning an option on a property, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a business partner, whoever, as long as they're not prohibited. And like you said, you capture all that upside in basically a tax-free vehicle.
Exactly.
It's crazy. Mike's one of those guys, every time we get to the Collective Genius together, I pull him aside and just pick his brain, and he always blows my mind with just these, like you said, million-dollar ideas. Mike, you've been around the block a while. You've done a ton of deals. Is there any deal that you've done or been a part of that you would consider your best deal ever?
Sure. See, interestingly enough, these IRAs come in play. We've done a lot of very, very interesting deals to help folks make very significant returns in their Roth IRA. But one of the best deals that comes to mind is, and I've done it multiple times, I'm going to use this deal as an example, and it's a technique. So I will kind of describe it and then take it from there. So this is a real deal. We funded a $150,000 second lien on a property, recorded the lien, and the borrower was a very experienced contractor, and he was working with him for a while. He had a personal situation. He was going through a personal divorce, and he had to sell his primary residence. But before he approached us, he moved out, and at that point it became investment property, made it very clear to us. So this is a requirement. We don't work on owner-occupied property. And he needed to rehab a property to maximize the value. So he had a first lien mortgage at about $1.4 million. He came to us and borrowed $150,000 in a second lien. And what that enabled him to do is to rehab the property and put it on the market at the fair market value, not handyman special. And he increased the value from 1.9 million to over 2.4 million. So by borrowing 150,000 from us doing the rehab, he increased the value of the property by 400,000, even more. So why is it the best deal ever? Because it was a very simple way to do it. The first was conventional. He was keeping it current and it was cheap. And then we gave him a balloon loan for 150,000. And to him, he was more expensive for a second lien than the first, but he realized $400,000 increase in the value of the property within a few months. So that's why it was a very strong deal.
So just out of curiosity, on a second position loan, obviously that's a higher risk position for you, which would be associated with like a higher interest rate, probably higher points. But for him, he turned the thing around. He rehabbed it in a couple of months and sold it for, you know, $400,000 more than he would have. So paying a few extra points and a slightly higher interest rate for a couple of months is still a no-brainer. I'm just curious, what sort of rates did you guys charge?
This deal was a few years ago, but in general, I'll give you kind of fresh pricing we charge today.
Okay.
I don't particularly remember what we charged in that deal, but it must be something along the same line. So the rate on the deal was, I think, 18%.
Okay.
The points were high. It was probably 10 points.
Wow.
Off the top of my head, it feels expensive, but think about it for a minute. What is 10 points on 150,000?
Yeah, it's only $15,000. Yeah, $15,000.
Plus the 18% interest. I don't remember how long the deal took, but let's just say he paid another $30,000 in interest.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. He increased the value by $450. Maybe his cost of money was $50.
Yeah. Yeah, probably wasn't even that high. So yeah, you spend
$50 to make $400. That's right. Probably wasn't even that high. That's right.
Yeah.
And so people think, hey, second lien, when you hear 10 points and 18% rent, they freak out. No. If you think about this, it's not a time to freak out. It's the time to think about the value.
Yeah.
Price is always, people say it's expensive. But what value are you getting? If you're paying expensive price, but you're getting a value much higher than what you're paying, it's a phenomenal deal. Because you got actually a phenomenal deal.
That's right. Yeah.
And very few people would have funded him, because they're afraid to be in second position. We particularly have expertise there. We liked it. We knew the borrower really well. We happily did it.
Yeah. I love it, man. That's super creative. It's a win. And it's like you said, it's a win-win. You guys did really well on the deal, but so did he. You enabled him to do really well on the deal as well. So at the end of the day, both parties walk away happy.
Exactly.
Mike, if we wanted to send people to your website to learn more about you and maybe connect with you to talk about putting some deals together, where would we send them?
It's tempofunding.com, T-E-M-P-O, from the word temporary, tempofunding.com. The email is info@tempofunding.com. Just email me your information. How did you get in touch with us? You heard the show. If somebody referred you personally, that also helps. So just send an email, a little bit of a summary, who you are, what you do, what kind of deal you have, and how you found out about us. And we'll try to respond as soon as possible.
Well, it's like you said, Mike, it's a relationship business. And I can personally attest, guys, Mike is somebody that you would love to have a relationship with in this business. He's very knowledgeable. And he's got a great program through Tempo. So again, we'll put it in the show notes, tempofunding.com. You can also email him directly at info@tempofunding.com. Mike, thanks again for being on the show. This is great.
Ken, I really appreciate. Happy to be here. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the day.
All right, take care.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a very special offer. I'm giving you an opportunity to work with my company, Georgia Residential Partners, and buy turnkey cash flowing properties in Atlanta for less than you've ever bought them at before. Where before we would sell properties that have already been fixed up with a markup in place, we're going to be selling properties at wholesale prices, the original wholesale prices. So instead of selling you a $70,000 house, we're going to sell you a $45,000 house. We're going to provide the hard money, the contractors, the tenant placement, the permanent financing, the insurance, everything you need to get into this house. And again, many of these properties are going to be sold $10,000 to $15,000 less than what you would have paid for them otherwise. That means you get to recognize equity right out of the gates and bring less money to the table on your permanent refi. If this is of interest to you, reach out to me at ken@gainvesting.com. Look forward to hearing from you.